name is Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr., Jill Robbins, and Brian Lynn. Later, Katie Weaver and Ashley will present the next part in our series on America's National Parks. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
The wire harness is a low-cost car part that connects wires together. But production of the parts has been causing problems in the auto industry. Some predict this simple part could speed the change from gas-powered cars to electric cars. The war in Ukraine has limited supplies of the wire harness. Ukraine usually produces wire harnesses for hundreds of thousands of new vehicles every year. Low-wage workers put these necessary car parts together using wire, plastic, and rubber. Automobile industry experts say the lack of wire harnesses for gas engines could make electric vehicles, EVs, more popular. They use a kind of lighter, machine-made harness. Most new cars worldwide are still gasoline-powered, but electric vehicle sales grew to 4 million last year. Michigan-based auto expert Sandy Monroe estimates electric vehicles will make up half of worldwide new car sales by 2028. The future is coming up awful fast, Monroe said. Because of the supply problems caused by the war in Ukraine, car makers have been trying to make the harnesses in other countries with low labor costs. Mercedes-Benz was able to import harnesses from Mexico. Some Japanese suppliers are increasing production in Morocco. Others are seeking new producers in countries including Tunisia, Poland, Serbia, and Romania. Auto manufacturers also are exploring new ways to make wire harnesses. Adrian Hallmark is the head of Bentley. He said that the British carmaker feared losing 30-40% of its car production for 2022 because of the lack of harnesses. The Ukraine crisis threatened to close our factory fully for several months, much longer than we did for COVID. He added that the supply problems had increased Bentley's interest in developing a simple harness for electric vehicles. This new harness would be controlled by a central computer. Bentley, a division of Volkswagen, plans a group of products by 2030. Electric car manufacturers, such as Tesla, use new, simpler wire harnesses. Machines can put them together. They are also lighter, which is important because less weight permits electric vehicles to go farther. Walter Glick is head of harness supply at the German company Leoni. He said that Leoni is working with car makers on new automated production methods for wire harnesses for electric vehicles. Leoni is developing harnesses that are made of 6 to 8 separate parts. These harnesses will be simple enough to use automated production. CellLink, a new company based in the American state of California, has developed a fully automated, flat, flex harness that is easy to install. CellLink head Kevin Coakley said nearly 1 million electric vehicles have the CellLink harnesses. The company is working on EVs with several car makers and considering building another factory in Europe, he said. Coakley said his company could ship redesigned harnesses in 2 weeks. It used to take up to 26 weeks to change a traditional harness. Dan Ratliff is an investor at Fontinollis Partners, an investment company based in Detroit, Michigan. He said car makers want to make vehicles more quickly. This new harness would make that possible. For many years, the industry has not needed to move fast to rethink a part like the wire harness. But Tesla has changed that, Ratliff added. On the EV side, it's just go, go, go. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Researchers are learning more about the disappearance of the largest known shark. Sharks are large and often dangerous sea fish known for their sharp teeth. The international researchers studied the mineral zinc found in the teeth of both living and extinct sharks. The study involved teeth from 20 living kinds of sharks and 13 extinct kinds. The research on the teeth suggested the position of these sharks in the food chain. The largest shark that ever lived is called the megalodon. Researchers compared its teeth to those of sharks living today, including the great white shark. Their research suggests the megalodon might have been outcompeted by the great white shark in ancient seas. Researchers compared the amounts of two forms of zinc in the outer covering of the shark's teeth. The researchers learned something about the shark's diet and their position in the food chain from the comparison. The researchers found the megalodon was on top of the food chain for millions of years. But they found that the great white shark's arrival, about 5.3 million years ago, added a hunter in the same position, competing for similar food. The megalodon's scientific name is Zootodus megalodon, and it appeared about 15 million years ago. The animal went extinct about 3.6 million years ago. It was one of the largest hunters or predators in Earth's history. The shark reached at least 15 meters to possibly 20 meters in length. It fed on sea mammals, a group of animals that includes whales. The great white shark, which scientists call Carcharodon carcharias, is smaller, reaching a length of about 6 meters. It may have been better at swimming and hunting than Megalodon. Kenshu Shimada is a scientist who studies extinct animals at DePaul University in Chicago, Illinois. He helped write the study, which was published recently in Nature Communications. Shimada said the two sharks lived together during a period of time called the Early Pliocene. He added that the zinc data suggests they seemed to have been in the same position in the food chain. Shimada said there are many ideas about why the megalodon went extinct. They include climate change and a decrease in food. He said a recent scientific theory is that the megalodon lost the competition with the newly evolved great white shark. Shimada said their study appears to support that idea, but he added that it could have been a combination of reasons. The researchers said it is not thought that the great white actually hunted the larger shark. Much still remains unknown about the megalodon. Sharks do not have bones, but a material called cartilage. Cartilage does not fossilize well. That makes it difficult to know what megalodon looked like. However, many megalodon tooth fossils have been found around the world. Shimada said, "The reality is that we still know very little about this extinct shark." I'm Jill Robbins.
Scientists have used a new tool to discover more than 100 asteroids that had not been identified before. The method uses a complex computing method called an algorithm to search for asteroids that were not discoverable in the past. They were not discoverable because existing telescopes and image examination tools could not recognize them. Historically, the American Space Agency, NASA, has used powerful ground-based telescopes and its NEOWISE spacecraft to identify asteroids and other near-Earth objects. NASA also uses tracking systems to follow the movements of asteroids. Scientists place a high importance on identifying and tracking near-Earth objects because some of them could present threats to our planet. With this in mind, NASA launched a spacecraft last November that aims to demonstrate a possible defensive method against asteroids that might threaten Earth. The discovery of 104 new asteroids was recently announced by the American-based nonprofit Asteroid Institute. The organization hopes the new asteroid search tool will lead to the discovery of many more asteroids in the coming years. The Asteroid Institute is part of the B612 Foundation. The Institute explains on its website that it aims to combine computer science, instrumentation, and astronomy to find and track asteroids. Ed Liu is the director of the B612 Foundation. He is also a former NASA astronaut. He praised the new tool in a statement announcing the organization's latest finding. Discovering and tracking asteroids is crucial to understanding our solar system, enabling development of space, and protecting our planet from asteroid impacts, Liu said. The Institute calls its discovery tool Asteroid Discovery Analysis and Mapping, or ATOM. This system uses the algorithm to link points of light in different sky images that are consistent with asteroid orbits. The tool is trained to find asteroids based on existing data and to calculate their orbits well enough to be recognized by international astronomy organizations. Liu said the ATOM tool and the algorithm together make it possible for any telescope with an archive to become an asteroid search telescope. The Asteroid Institute worked together with the technology company Google on the project. Google says its cloud computing system supported the computational power needed for the asteroid discovery system. We always dreamed of cloud computing becoming a true tool of science, and the announcement of today's and future asteroid discoveries show that this dream is becoming a reality, said Scott Penberthy. He is the director of Applied AI at Google. Researchers from the University of Washington also cooperated on the project. Joachim Moyens is one of those researchers. He reported that he searched a 30-day window of images during the discovery operation. The images came from the NOIRLAB source catalog. The catalog is a collection of nearly 68 billion observations made by telescopes operated by the Arizona-based National Optical Astronomy Observatory between 2012 and 2019. After making his first set of asteroid discoveries from the images, Moyens sent his results to the Minor Planet Center. The NASA-supported center is an international body responsible for officially registering observed near-Earth objects. The center was able to recognize and confirm Moyens' 104 asteroid discoveries. Moyens and other researchers say the latest identifications are just the beginning. They predict their asteroid search tool will result in thousands of new discoveries in the future. I'm Brian Lynn.
On our national parks journey, we travel to the northwestern state of Oregon. Here, you will find a huge, deep lake. Its waters seem impossibly blue. It is the deepest lake in America and one of the deepest lakes in the world. Its water is among the clearest and purest found on Earth. Around the lake runs the wall of an extinct volcano. In the middle of the lake, a small island rises over 230 meters above the surface. Welcome to Crater Lake National Park.
The lake's beauty inspires artists, photographers, and nature lovers. That beauty was born from the violent burst of Mount Mazama about 7,700 years ago. Hot liquid called magma rose from deep under the mountain, causing it to collapse. The powerful burst destroyed the surrounding area. Huge amounts of ash fell on the land. The burst also left an enormous circular hole in the mountain's center. Scientists call this a caldera. Over the next hundreds of years, rain and snow filled the hole with water. Rainfall and snowfall are the lake's only source of water. It has no connections to the rivers and streams around it. That is what keeps its waters so pure. As water collected, plants began to grow in the area again, and animals returned. Scientists say it took about 250 years for the lake to rise to its current water level. Crater Lake is 592 meters deep. It is one of the 10 deepest on Earth. But its depth is not the only remarkable quality. People are awed by its water color and clarity. Crater Lake is so clear that on most days you can see nearly 30 meters below the surface. The lake takes on its intense blue color because of the water's clarity. Sunlight reaches deep into the water. Crater Lake gets its name from geology. A crater is a large, bowl-shaped area on top of a volcano. The crater that formed the lake sits within the larger caldera.
Native Americans were in the area even before the lake's formation. Researchers have found artifacts buried under layers of ash and dust from Mount Mazama's huge eruption. Following the burst, Native Americans considered Crater Lake to be a holy place. Ancient Native American stories describe the eruption of Mount Mazama. European explorers and settlers did not arrive in the area until the middle 1800s. In 1865, a hunter became one of the first non-Native Americans to reach the shores of Crater Lake. In 1870, a boy in Kansas read a newspaper article about the strange lake in Oregon. The story about Crater Lake fascinated the young William Gladstone Steele. He promised himself he would one day see this lake. In 1872, Steele's family moved to Portland, Oregon, about 375 kilometers north of the lake. 13 years later, Steele honored his promise and visited Crater Lake. Its beauty moved him greatly. He began a 17-year fight to preserve the area as a public park. Steele was a writer. He described one of his first visits to Crater Lake In 1886, in the West Shore magazine.
Not a foot of the land about the lake has been touched or claimed. An overmastering conviction came to me that this wonderful spot must be saved, wild and beautiful, just as it was, for all future generations.
His proposal of creating a national park did not please nearby sheep herders and miners. But his efforts succeeded anyway. On May 22, 1902, Crater Lake became the country's fifth national park. It remains the only national park in Oregon. And William Gladstone Steele is called the father of Crater Lake.
Crater Lake National Park covers 740 square kilometers. The lake itself makes up less than 10% of the park. It also includes surrounding mountains and thick forests. The trees shelter many kinds of animals, from black bears to elk to spotted owls. About 480,000 people visit Crater Lake National Park each year. They explore by car, bicycle, or on foot. Roads that encircle Crater Lake usually are open from July through October, depending on weather. They provide breathtaking displays of the lake's unusual blue color, as well as the forests around it. Crater Lake National Park also has more than 140 kilometers of hiking trails. The Cleetwood Cove Trail drops more than 200 meters down to the edge of Crater Lake. It leads to a spot where swimming is permitted. The water is extremely cold. Most swimmers cannot stay in for more than a few minutes. Crater Lake's average water temperature is just 3 degrees Celsius. In summer, the lake's surface warms to about 10 degrees Celsius.
Visitors can also catch a boat from the end of Cleetwood Cove Trail. Park rangers lead visitors on boat rides around the lake. Visitors can also take boats to Wizard Island. The piece of land sits in the western part of the lake. Volcanic eruptions formed Wizard Island. It rises over 760 meters above the lake floor. However, most of the island, about 500 meters, is underwater. At Wizard Island, visitors can hike, swim, and fish. It is also a wonderful place to relax and enjoy nature. But such extraordinary places can be found all over the park. Discovering one's own is part of the magic to experience at Crater Lake National Park. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.